I'm gonna take my pants off. That should help.
What?
Hello and welcome to the Untapped Podcast. I am today's host, Goodspeed. I am currently drinking a Landshark, who I owe a large apology for the 2 minutes of last week's podcast I was on. It is not urine, actually quite a bit. I bought every single one the store had beneath us. Like a lava axe, this is take five.
Also here tonight, it's me, Paul, like sacrificing an Emrakul to a Viscera seer to trigger your Morbid on Brimstone Volley. This is take five.
Sorry, what?
So you got to Morbid, that was the important part.
Yes.
And you just wanted Emrakul there, because...
Hey, they could chump lock with a flying squirrel.
Alright. What's that card called? An Ophiomancer token.
You can't chump block.
It has protection from colored instants and sorcery.
Oh, it is colored spells.
Yeah, that's what it is.
These voices you're hearing.
Permanents are not spells.
Yeah, so...
Ed, introduce yourself. All right, or don't. Ed.
I'm Ed. I'm apparently the person who doesn't know what an Emrakul is, even though I just bought one, which is really surprising.
And introducing special guest, Kaz.
Oh yeah, this is technically my first time. Hey, wait, no, you have to do your take five thing.
Here's my intro thing. No. I did it. I looked this one up. Like a thunderous wrath off its miracle cost in your shitty, shitty, cheap-ass miracles deck. Take five.
Nobody's laughing.
It's a Lord of the Gods joke that is really played out.
I mean, it's an important part of understanding who I am.
Okay, all right. I'm Kaz. I'm technically new, right? Because that last take never made it.
Wait. I'm going to interrupt you one more time. I'm drinking my favorite beer, which is Magic Hat number 9.
Today.
I had a vanilla Coke. So how do I say this right?
Was it on tap?
It's a metaphor, like a something. Take five.
Okay, like a blast from the past for 10 mana, kicked and flashbacked with mass hysteria on the field. Take five.
Cause the goblin's attacking.
You can look it up afterwards. It's pretty impressive.
It checks out.
I'm drinking OG, let's move on.
I was drinking Door County Brewing Company's Little Sister, a refreshing Belgian wheat style beer.
How many stars did you give it out of five?
This is my favorite Belgian wheat style beer.
So at least 17.
On a scale from 1 to blue.
It's like a fresh haircut. All right.
In your mouth.
You're fucking good. There's a good shaving in your mouth. I use it. Just reminding Ed what my tongue looks like. Okay. Imagine hair. Feelers. Oh, God. So, I have a friend who had these hermit crabs, and they terrify me. Is that normal?
No. I had hermit crabs, and one day I woke up, and there was just body parts strewn all across the hermit crab and cage.
Wait, what?
They just tore each other apart. It was terrifying.
That's why someone else feels my pain. These things are frightening. They're inhuman monsters.
Okay, but they're also really cute.
No.
Okay, I think like spiders are cute though. So
yeah, that's weird.
Is it?
Not always. There are cute spiders.
Anime eyes on them.
That makes it creepy.
It's like, there's an onion tentacle monster in Undertale whose name is Onion-san, and it's called that because it has giant...
Okay. Oh my god, I know
what is
about.
Undertale?
We'll get there.
It's a video game that you might consider buying on Steam.
It's a game everyone listening should consider buying. It's great. But anyway, this is a Magic podcast, primarily, at the moment. So, last week we were supposed to discuss games day in our standard decks. That didn't happen, really. So that would give us an opportunity to discuss, maybe not the decks we play, but what we're interested in. I know, Paul mentioned last week he would rather play Aristocrats than Midrange Access, if he were to go to another standard event.
That's right.
Personally, I'm interested in trying the Demon Control deck that Adrian Sullivan had. I tried against Jeskai, it didn't go very well. But that was just a quick little test. But anyway, I want to know what you guys think. Kaz, you too. Cause
what do I think about what?
Just as easily. If you were to play Standard, what deck would you want to play?
Oh, yeah, sure. I can talk about... Wait, do you want me to talk right now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, obviously Aristocrats looks fun as hell. It's like the sort of deck that I just love playing. Because I have Andraxar in EDH, and that's basically what it is. It looks super fun. And I'm always a big fan of Blood Artist. It's just, this is the better half of the Blood Artist. And then the other thing is, like I said, like, I wasn't super interested in spending all this money on Standard until I can, like, cast Emrakul. Not Emrakul, Ulamog.
Sure.
And it looks like that's happening now.
Post-rotation.
We did see hints of that at Game Day.
I mean...
It's only in one deck.
Yeah, there's only one deck built around it, but it's seen play.
We all agree that it's much more plausible after the cards from Cons of Tarkir.
You mean after the Fetchlands
rotate?
Skedaddle. Rotate, yeah. But it's...
Both Fetchlands and the absurd, like, 3 and 4 mana creatures.
Sure, yeah, okay.
It is still seeing constructed play now. It's just not play since... They're not playing Rattleclaw Mystic.
Yes, they are. They're playing all ramp Rattleclaw Mystic.
I didn't see that build.
The deck we saw was just the green-white Megamorph deck that also had a top end.
Well, the
it's
deck...
also plausible they'll play a 1 and a green dork.
Okay, the deck that was actually... Yes. Placing well in it placed well in the Grand Prix, and I mean I saw info on it about, at Channel Fireball was playing Explosive Vegetation and Nissa's Pilgrimage, and not that's right. How it got there, and it just went all into I'm gonna play Ugin and Ulamog and do it so fast, and I mean once you cast that it's over, like it had to deal with counters, right? I mean if you cast an Ulamog. Obviously, if you counter it, you're still getting value out of that. And so they dealt with that with the Ugin's. That one land card, which if you play converted mana cost, like a card with converted mana cost 7 or higher, a colorless card, then you look through your deck for one and put it into your hand.
Eldrazi Temple?
No, that's not what it is.
Isn't there an Eldrazi that does that? Isn't it Conduit of Ruin?
Sort of. Like, it's a land, though, and it taps for a colorless. It's Ugin Sanctum.
Okay.
And so they do that for, like, if there's countering, well, when you play it, you're just going to look up for another Ulamog and play another Ulamog next turn, so it doesn't matter.
I think you're thinking about two lands. Ugin Sanctum lets you sack and get an Ugin or a dragon back out of the graveyard.
Yes, no. Spirit Dragon. There is a card called Ugin Sanctum. It's in Battle for Zendikar. It's not seeing play right now because it's terrible.
It does because this deck I'm talking about has seen play in a Grand Prix and has gotten like at least like the top 16.
Like if you hit a converted mana cost 6 or greater, you can sack it and search for something.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I think it's 7, but yeah.
No, it's 6 because you can do it off the Hangarback Walker for 6.
And good probably point. Does know
that's
this.
True. Because they talked about it. That's why that deck is also playing 4 Hangarback Walkers. Yeah.
That's why I know about it.
When Ed has a reason to know something, I usually believe him.
So, for reference...
It was also playing Sylvan Scrying. All right, I'm done.
...from Battle for Zendikar. Otherwise known as Beast Caller Savant, does tap it for any color for creature spell. Could be using that.
Why not, Shaman Ragavan?
Good point. That too. and Kiora at that point.
I mean, anyway. When Nissa's Pilgrimage has Spell Mastery, 3 lands is a big fucking deal.
So cast.
Wait, what was that?
Is it suffice to say your goal is to, at some point in Standard, cast Ulamog?
Yeah, if I decide to go into Standard. And if I make a deck around it, it's not going to be that hard.
It's fine.
What was the name of this land?
Ugin Sanctum. You can decide it's an unachievable goal and not pursue it.
I don't think it's unachievable at all. I just think...
Consistently. Or well. Or, you know what I mean.
The main problem with that deck is that it loses so hard to red.
Which isn't really a thing.
That's why that deck's sort of taking off.
Is it not?
Mono red isn't.
Because Jeskai beats it.
Yeah, but the only red deck is Tarka red.
I'm counting that as red.
A red deck.
Yeah, that's deck. I'm counting that as red.
It's red. It plays the way red decks play.
Not really.
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
I'm gonna completely vehemently argue again here. Does that feel like a normal red deck?
Well, hold on.
2v2.
It can't. I'm gonna say that it can't. I'm the one who plays the deck. It can play like that, but you have to have the right draw. Usually it plays like a combo deck. You're trying to gather your 1 or 2 creatures and then your double strike, your 18-18 double strike trap.
The point being, it's way too fast for...
Yeah, sure.
For Ulamog ramp to handle.
If by red deck you mean it plays quickly, sure, I can agree with that. It doesn't always. Because the Ulamog ramp deck did beat me once. It games it, but you mean a game? I mean, not
play Jotty offshoots like in the sideboard.
Well, yeah, if you play the Jotty offshoots, naturally you're great, but that's only 4 cards and it has to come out of the sideboard. Yeah, because that's their worst matchup.
Is Jotty offshoot good enough for Standard?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. It's a big sideboard card.
It'll be great after rotation.
It only has 3 toughness.
Do a life every land you play. I guess fetch
it costs 1 mana.
Like a 1 drop, course rip crew fix.
Not even close.
Yes, it is that good.
if it had some way to draw you lands, it might be. But sadly,
if it was a Gate Creeper Vine,
wasn't Courser in chat? How did Courser get in life? It was lands, wasn't it? Man, that already feels like so long ago. All right. So anyway, Paul.
It was an enchantment creature that had landfall. But I mean,
so Paul, are there any standard decks you're interested in constructing, playing?
I do want to make the Abzan Aristocrats deck that we saw, but I would then be obligated to play it.
I'd play it for you.
There's allegedly a thing. So remember the whole joke about the Goyf and the Archangel of Tides?
Yeah.
Allegedly the store that did that is hosting some big Star City Games event this weekend.
By the way, that land we're talking about was Sankovugan, and it is converted mana cost 7 or greater, so the number of the after is 8.
Okay.
Just to, so that it's not Vugan Sanctum, it's Sanctum of Vugan.
This is what I get for throwing my lot in with Ed.
So it means you have to cast it for 8, so it'll be a 4-4. Yeah.
Very, right, very achievable in Standard.
Yes.
Is that it? Aristocrats is the only deck you've seen?
Yeah, pretty much. I haven't followed Standard for, like, the last week.
Yeah.
Well, probably 2 weeks.
Yeah. I'm not saying I have. It was just that, like, coming out of Games Day, there were things that I was interested in that never... So, Ed, what about you?
With D-Resolve, 4 Dark Jeskai in the top 8, I'm going to stick with my deck. Just gonna stick with that. Seems to be doing pretty well.
Everybody, play more green white and more Abzan. It beats Dark Jeskai.
No, it kills those.
So does Ulamog.
You just have to sideboard correctly.
Hey, lucky then too. Are Roast in their sideboards?
No.
Okay.
The like benefit of Dark Jeskai is just how solid it is on every single portion of the game. You are going to be playing no matter what your hand is. You don't have a backup almost unless you get, because you can always just get to your second or your third. It's like playing a ramp.
Is that with like cantrip?
It's just solid. Yeah, it's because of Jace and cantrips and the number of lands in the deck and things.
Yeah.
Are there cantrips?
Well, anticipate is the first thing.
Anticipate time. But getting dig cure time, it's like actually just you are solid. You also have to deal with, like, your opponent has to also, while hitting their land drops, deal with the Mantis Rider you were going to play.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Mantis Rider. Hey, you know what I want? The game watch. One red deal 3 damage. Instant speed. That's all I want.
Fiery Impulse. It's still now.
Yeah, but it's not always 3 damage.
You really think we're going to get that?
It's not impossible. Also, Fiery Impulse can't go to players.
Would you take 2 red?
Yeah.
I mean, would you just be happy for Lightning Strike back?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love Lightning Strike. This was great.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I don't know if there's a deck that's unhappy about Lightning Strike coming back. Because Jeskai might just play it. Like... 2 mana for 3 damage isn't... Anyway. I'm no game developer, but it seemed reasonable before, and it seems reasonable now.
It's too good.
Is it?
But they want to try and make... Running.
Like
Mantis Rider?
Like...
Mantis Rider's already...
What dorks? There's none.
There's 3 toughness,
there's Rattleclaw,
which is everything.
There's Rattleclaw,
Lightning
Mystic
Strike
Shaman.
Had no impact on the amount of play.
That new dude.
Lightning Strike would kill every creature played in the Atarka Red deck.
Atarka Red was still a deck then. In fact, it was better because Lightning Strike existed.
It was very different from how it is. It was more of a burn deck then.
Doesn't that other spell that Ed was talking about also kill every single card in like...
What spell?
Atarka Red. Yeah.
The difference is that it's conditional. It's not just automatically 3 damage draw.
Yeah, but 2 still basically kills all the shit.
That's the difference.
Okay.
You just rather... It's just better to have go to players.
Yeah.
Like, that's games.
Well, if you want a 1 mana spell, you're not getting...
Lightning Bolt?
Lightning Bolt. It's probably just going to be creatures.
We were talking about how Lightning Bolt isn't unreasonable for
but
Standard.
They've already did bring back Lightning Bolt, and then it was too strong for Standard.
M11?
You say that, but it had to sit around with friggin' Jace the Mind Sculptor and Wormcoil Engine.
Some Forge Mystic.
Was Wormcoil Engine really played?
I don't completely think that Lightning Bolt is too overpowered, because they keep saying things are too overpowered, and then they print things like Siege Rhino and Delver of Secrets, and they have...
Yeah, well...
And Dig Through Time.
and Dig Through Time and Treasure Cruise. And we know exactly how strong those spells are now, but they didn't then, and we can just... We know how strong Lightning Bolt is. It's never getting better than it was. I don't think it's unreasonable to print it.
The context could make it better than it was.
Right, but what's contextually making it so good?
I do find it really hard to believe that there's going to be a context that makes it better than it is in Modern.
Anything in Modern that's not a 2-for-1 is... Either...
But everything is also within Lightning Bolt range.
Not Tarmogoyf.
Oh, it is.
The thing that I think is going to... I don't think we're going to see anything printed until the second set of Innistrad.
That's a bold claim.
Fate Reforged still has Wild Flash until then.
It's not how it works.
Fate Reforged rotates at the same time as Cons of Tarkir.
Oh, then we'll see something in the first set of Innistrad.
What? See something...
He's talking about a 3 damage burn spell.
Okay. If we're going to see one, it will be...
I don't...
The 1 damage spell will be replaced then.
It depends on what they want to do going forward. It's plausible that it'll be an Oath, but I think it's more likely that it'll be in Shadows Over Innistrad, whatever it's called.
That
Shadows
sounds right.
Unless they want a really...
Shadows Over Innistrad.
But so I just want to know, is it Paul wrote Shadows Over Innistrad on the show notes? And then under it has written Kaboon! Or at least that was how I read it.
Spoilers, come on. Jeez.
You sound so sorry.
Senpai, please forgive me.
Is
that
spoiled? No. Well, it's what we're going to be talking about, so we could just go into it.
Oh, good point, Ken. It is what we're talking about. So, Paul, why do you think the moon is so significant? Why does his beer taste like bread?
That's what Miller tastes like.
So...
High Life and MGD both taste like that.
I wonder if it's because they have yeast in them.
So, who here saw the Shadows of Innistrad trailer?
Didn't you make everybody watch it?
What is your question?
I didn't make Ed watch it.
I was literally sent at like 3 or 4 a.m. on Saturday night.
That doesn't sound like me.
And I had stumbled home. I got here in the morning for breakfast, and they were like, did you see the news? And I was like, what?
Did I send it to you?
Yes.
Yeah, you both knew about it when I got there in the morning.
I knew Ed knew about it. I don't think I sent it to him.
You did send it to me.
Did you see the news? No, not that plane crash. It was Shadows over Innistrad.
Seriously, look at it.
I'm pretty sure he sent it. Wait, are we having me look to see if you sent it?
Oh, yes. You verifying the things you say is one of the jokes, Ed.
So anyway,
I'm a charging my attack. What was that?
So Paul, I remember you guys were discussing how Ed didn't notice the moon in the trailer. I want Paul to explain what he thinks is so prevalent about the moon, or why it's relevant.
Because the moon is in the background the whole time?
Well, yes.
And it's big, and it's large and in charge.
If you didn't notice, it kind of looks like there's just a big white background, but there are edges making it...
Okay.
It makes a feather bleed.
So, it opens, we see that this place is Innistrad, or wherever Bloodborne lives.
Yeah, it was very Bloodborne.
Then we see a feather float into frame...
What?
And it slowly turns to blood.
Okay.
It fades up.
So Avacyn is dead.
As
right?
It's floating around, we see the moon in the top left, and then we see it in the top right. And it lands on a roof, and it melts into blood completely and runs down the roof. And the moon is still in the background. And then we see the symbol of Avacyn, the staff topper looking thing.
The thing that makes it dead.
Oh, it's like
in the middle,
a Biden.
The hole is
a penis. It's basically.
It's a horseshoe on a stick.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it.
Okay, sure.
It's a horseshoe on a stick. And then the moon takes up 3/4 of the frame, and you can see the shadow lines coming off of the Biden. Yeah.
Sure.
The horseshoe.
Yeah.
And then it starts to melt.
Okay.
Does it melt? Like I thought it was just like kind of distorted. Like it's just.
Yeah. It starts bending, and then it starts bending faster and faster, like it's melting.
Which was really cool, I thought.
Okay. But nobody else I talked
it's
to.
It's magic.
It looks like shit.
Their animations are terrible.
Actually,
they have such good animations for all of their turtles.
Not true.
Listen to this. When they take the card art and animate it, it looks way better than when they take a computer and animate it.
Right.
Well, I'm referring to all the times they've tried computer animation.
I don't understand.
They have tried it, and it was bad.
Like in the games.
Yeah.
It showed us. So the things that I don't like about this announcement.
It was rushed for Halloween, Ed. That's why it was Innistrad.
It shows absolutely no creatures.
That's why it was.
It shows the set symbol of Avacyn that makes us know it's Avacyn. That's literally it. And it shows a big fucking moon and a feather.
A moon you did not notice until I ranted about it.
True. I noticed a bleeding feather.
So, part of the reason why we think the moon's going to be a big deal, right, is because when...
Because of Paul's rant about Tamio the Moon Sage studying the moon.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
That corroborated what I saw, but it stood out to me so much, and I was so frustrated that neither you nor Goodspeed thought of this.
Why would I think? I don't know what an Innistrad is.
None of us are obsessed with Tamio the Moon Sage.
I mean, I'm not obsessed with Tamio, but I got it.
Kaz got it, and I was actually grateful. That was the feeling I felt.
I want to point out to you, I can name like 4 cards from Innistrad, including Tamio the Moon Sage.
All right, you got 3 more.
Tamio is from Avacyn Rescue.
I didn't know that.
Okay,
Tamio's
I know
from
Thalia. I know Mare of Avonbrook, and
yep.
I know Reckless Wave.
Yep.
Snapcaster Mage.
I don't fucking know.
But you missed Huntmaster of the Fells.
Yeah, okay.
And Garrick Relentless.
Cards that flip, I generally would have gotten. I can think of those, but I don't think of them as Innistrad.
And Jace Vryn's Prodigy.
The Hexproof Angel bullshit, dude. Geist of Saint Traft.
Obviously.
Yeah, Geist of Saint Traft.
That's from Innistrad? Why is the set so broken?
Because they did no RNG on it.
Does that mean we're going to have a good set?
Isn't that how it was? So it's like.
Because control was so strong, so they had creatures that could stand
yeah.
out.
Okay, Kaz, go.
I was just gonna say, it's just like New Phyrexia broken, like Innistrad broken, and then we have like 2 really
fucking tame dumb sets.
Yeah, tame sets.
Okay, look.
And then Khans of Tarkir broken.
And then everything else except for Origins, kind of, has been terrible for power. Hangarak and Jace are the only powerful cards we've had since Khan's Tarkir, except maybe Atarka's command.
Ignoring, like, Nissa and Liliana.
Are those good outside of standard?
I don't know, probably not.
Yeah, that's my point. It's like, but sets have all been really low power.
You can make cards that are broken outside of standard that are fine in standard.
Sure. Like your time.
I would have said Treasure Cruise, actually.
I would have said Fleece Maid Lion. But anyway,
I mean, I think Dig Through Time and Treasure Cruise are both valid answers. They're both banned.
We have Bring to Light now.
Yeah, but Dig Through Time is way better in standard than Treasure Cruise is.
But anyway, I guess the hope is that Battle for Zendikar is the worst of them all, so we only have up to go from here. Battle for Zendikar, I was reading some article about why standard costs so much, and they pointed out that if you look at the number of cards from unique cards from each set in the top 8 of the Pro Tour, Zendikar has such a low number compared to everything else.
That's so many! There's so many fucking lands!
It's
count them.
Unique cards, not number of cards.
But when you play the Zendikar lands, you play like one or two of each one that you use.
Every deck has at least 4 of them.
I believe.
Yeah, but every deck has 12 fetch lands and 4 Zendikar lands.
I mean,
4 J. Sure. 4 of the Planeswalker that you can cast. Sometimes both.
It doesn't mean by quantity, it means by number of you. Like, Gideon, the lands, and like that's it from Battle for Zendikar. Those are the only cards seeing it play.
It's because those cards aren't really good in standard or any other format.
Right.
But Khan's cards are really good in standard.
Right. But the whole point is that Battle for Zendikar is like the weakest set we've seen
yet.
Yeah,
none of the Eldrazi that we were kind of hyped about are good in any kind of extended format.
Who remembers what the name of this season of the podcast is?
What did you just say?
You weren't even drunk that night.
You can't get better
one.
Than Emrakul.
Like, season one is I don't think Ulamog is good enough.
Oh yeah.
I love Ulamog. You guys suck.
Paul's going to name the podcast in their little thing of
the lost episode.
No, that was us just talking about what we should do with the name of the podcast.
Yeah, that was when we named it the Untapped Click.
Oh, okay.
That was that discussion.
We got to wait at least until Oath of the Gatewatch.
What? Is that a joke?
Comes out for season 2. And then we can have a new joke.
It'll be Kozilek isn't quite good enough.
You're misinformed about... We're not going to be seeing Kozilek.
We might.
Yes, I do want a bet.
My bet is that we're going to find Kozilek.
How much?
Oh, just nothing. Just a gentleman's
one bag. Booster pack.
Sure. I'll bet you a booster pack that Kozilek shows up and opens the Gatewatch.
As a legendary creature.
Yeah, I don't care.
Or a planeswalker.
No, if there is evidence, it's him in the art of a card. I want that to count.
Don't even start that.
If there's
is insulting.
The bet was just that Kozilek will show up, right?
As a planeswalker. Please, you guys are stupid.
I'm not, he won't be, that's dumb.
I think it's dumb too.
Okay.
But you know what's gonna not be dumb? What if, like, a little tiny, what are those things called?
Spawn.
Yeah. There's gonna be a spawn planeswalker, and it's gonna become completely sentient away from Ulamog, and it's gonna be like, Skloobloo, the escaped.
I don't think you have a strong grasp on Eldrazi naming conventions.
Yeah, no.
Skloobloo sounds like a Star Wars character.
That would be really interesting, though, if, like...
That's the guy who tells Obi-Wan where Kamino is.
If, like, we had, like, a spawn of, like, an Eldrazi Titan that, like, kind of developed separately, yeah. And it's like, oh, I don't want to listen to you anymore, and I don't know. I think it's a cool idea. Although it would still be... But then again, how do you get that across if they're, like, so fucking alien, you don't know what they're thinking anyways?
Starts talking to Jace. Done.
Okay.
All right.
It becomes Jace's pet. You can send it through the multiverse to...
Jace could just eat it.
And gain its power.
That's not a Jace thing to do.
I mean, it would be like Jace the... The id master or something, yeah. The id consumer or something. No, it's gotta be something construction-y.
What?
The id... Well, it's like architect...
Yeah, architect of thought, mind sculptor.
Jace, ego foreman.
We already made that joke, which is why I was gonna go with the id something, whatever.
The super ego super foreman.
I get it. The reason I picked the id was because of the subconscious, but I mean, hey.
The id CFO.
Okay, we see this plane walking Eldrazi being Jace, so I'm nicknaming the id CFO.
Alright. So just real quick, I'm too drunk to read right now, but what I was talking about was an article on MTG Goldfish called The Most Expensive Standard Since Cobblade. I think it's very worth reading. It explains why standard is so dumb in its price right now. It's mostly the Fetchlands and Battlelands being
insane
standard. But Tanglelands. Sure. I prefer Battleland because Tanglelands sounds dumb. But
it takes two to tango.
Yeah, but they're from Battle for Zendikar. We're at an impasse.
Is that why they're called that?
Really? Are you making fun of me because I said that once? You are, I appreciate it. But anyway, in this article they explain that there were very few number of unique cards from Battle for Zendikar in the top 8 of the most recent Pro Tour. I think. Maybe a different... you know what? I'm drunk. I give up. Anyway, it'll be in the link dump. Read the article. I might be wrong. Maybe a different article from that site.
Well, cons is broken, yes. And I think standard will be more interesting when it rotates, but that's me.
I think standard was really interesting before we lost Theros. I like standard. I like the super standard a lot. I thought that was a lot of fun because there were so many different decks that were all competitive. I don't dislike this standard, but I dislike the price and how good all the decks are, if that makes
consistent.
Yeah, consistent. Like the fact that Jeskai can hit Magus Rider on turn 3 every single game is kind of dumb. But, again, I'm not complaining, because, I mean, we were able to put together a bunch of competitive decks and compete, but I'm excited to see what happens post-rotation.
I think that Mantis Rider is interesting, because I don't think that it's a very overpowered card. It's not played in any other format. It's literally just... It is actually just a lightning bolt that can block.
It's
probably going to hit you once. It might hit you twice. Your opponent,
the difference is if you hit two lightning bolts, you aren't guaranteed to win. And it feels like if Jeskai hits multiple Mantis Riders, they're gonna win.
No.
That's how I feel, but...
That is not the case at all.
It's the case in a lot of matchups.
That's how it feels, Lee.
Because
we're not playing bad decks.
I think you mean a lot of the decks don't have removal that's good at killing Mantis Rider quickly.
Because we lost Lightning Strike.
Because they don't play removal.
Because the removal's not instant speed.
The Aristocrats deck doesn't play removal, that's why it's weak to Mantis Rider.
Is the Aristocrats deck weak to Mantis Rider?
They can play Complete Disregard.
They can play Murderous Cut,
which they are.
Which is not that good against Mantis Rider.
The combo.
Complete Disregard?
No, Murderous Cut.
I feel like Aristocrats is good enough they don't have to care, but
either
you go off and you win or you don't.
And that's why Aristocrats is not doing as well as the other decks.
In
the competitive formats, yeah. Is because it just cannot handle the other decks. You put it up against Esper hits a few languages, Esper wins.
Depends on what you're playing, but yeah, I see where you're going. Yeah, I bet that Esper got at games they beat all the Aristocrats.
I would bet.
Anyway. So standard is a little stagnant right now because there just are good decks and everybody knows what they are.
I feel like you're coming off as kind of quiet.
Yeah, shut up, Kaz.
Sorry, meta stuff.
You can certainly hear me speaking. I just won't be as loud as everybody else for most of it. It's fine because.
This is why we have Levelator.
Yes.
Moving on.
Sorry for my ignorance.
So Paul, we briefly touched on Temio. Would you like to elaborate on Temio?
So.
She's studying the moon.
This is what I get for playing up the joke that I like Tamiyo. I just get bitched at for liking Tamiyo now.
Luckily, this is a great segue into Cube, but anyway, why don't you explain...
So, what we know about Tamiyo, she's the moon sage. She was on Innistrad to study the moon, because the moon is made of silver and it has some sort of property that lets it trap things. Or
why
something.
Why is silver relevant?
Because the Hell Vault was made of too.
Because Karn's a silver bowl.
Because werewolves die to silver arrows.
Thank you, Kaz. This is what I was getting at.
These are all actually good points. Silver does have importance in Magic's history because it lets you time travel.
Well, I didn't know that.
Did we stop that mending?
No.
Okay.
Didn't we just have a set about time traveling to change history? So, I'm very excited Tamiyo is going to be back in Shadows over Innistrad.
Didn't we also just have a set where, someone supposedly maybe stole a spark back? I was going to reference the fact that New Phyrexia steals sparks, but that's...
I'm looking forward to that.
Do they?
That's what the fucking machine is under New Phyrexia.
That's what Mirrodin is in general.
They don't know that.
They will.
They soon will.
Will they?
I'm sure that's going to be important.
Okay, Niv-Mizzet will get his spark, and it'll be...
They're going to find some way to planeswalk.
But Kaz, the set after this can't be a return to New Phyrexia.
I don't remember the story very well, but isn't that a Jinga tactic?
I don't know.
He was trying to activate Mirrodin. I thought
maybe.
So anyway, so Paul likes Tamiyo.
I like Tamiyo.
Are we gonna go through Magic crushes now? That's what it's turning into.
Kaz likes Vraska.
No, I don't. Well, kind of, but
Ed likes Sorin. Really?
That's my that's always been my favorite artwork on a card.
Oh, okay.
That's well known. That's why Kaz traded me his foil one as soon as he opened it.
It is known, Khaleesi.
And it's now an expensive as fuck card.
If that's what we're talking about, my favorite card is the promo Folia done by the guy who likes boobs.
Steve Argyle, the guy who likes boobs.
No.
Make sure to tag him on Twitter.
Yeah, where is your fucking... You're supposed to be making links and timestamps.
Do your job!
No, I actually
no,
like...
No, I'm going to end up doing it now because I'm going to listen to the podcast.
No, I like a Yume, which is my coaster.
The alien lady.
The alien lady from Kamigawa that has legendary landwalk. Yeah.
So, Paul.
And Goodspeed likes Bramaz. Moving on.
Anyway.
Okay, I liked Cats 2 when I started.
So, Shadows Over Innistrad is about the moon.
Sure, so...
And even the logo has a moon texture.
So, as long as we're talking about Tenyo...
What?
Wait, have we seen the logo?
Yes.
Like the little...
Not the set symbol, the logo. It says Shadows Over Innistrad in Innistrad draped letters with a moon texture.
I'm not gonna ask that, because that's...
I know, right?
It's huge and bright on Innistrad.
Right. You know what?
And it's never daytime.
Said...
The sun is just beyond the horizon hitting the thing.
Knowing nothing about Innistrad, I think the point is that the shadow is light.
It's also made of silver, which is much more reflective than our moon.
Which is made of what? Cheese?
Yeah.
Did you watch that video yet?
What video? Wallace and Gromit go to the moon? Yeah, I've seen that.
No, god damn it.
Did we just try to science Innistrad's moon into, like, how light is reflected after we know that Theros is a fucking cornucopia?
Yes, different planes have different cosmologies. Very astute observation.
Did you discuss that in the cube, or is this...
Okay, what we've been
trying
to get to
is that
during cube, Paul had an interesting choice that involved Tenyo. This is what I've been trying to get to for the past 20 minutes.
Oh. I've been getting that wrong.
You need to start getting things right, guys.
Oh, God. So it's Untapped Podcast?
Yeah. It's the
so
Untapped
generic.
Podcast.
The Untapped Podcast. Okay, it's not generic because it involves beer, duh.
I didn't actually get that. I feel stupid now.
I don't think most people will.
Well, now they will.
So is Take 5 the appropriate place to explain the naming conventions behind the Untapped Podcast?
Go ahead.
So, there's this app called Untapped, I think, and I have it, and I don't use it, but what you're supposed to, it's a social media for beer, and what you're supposed to do is drink a beer, check in, you drank that beer, rate it, and then you can see who's around you that drank that beer. So I was at work once over the summer, I was pooping, and I was like, I'm gonna go on the Untapped app and see who's drinking around me in this elementary school.
He was working part-time as a painter.
Well, it was full-time, but... Break on the student. You know how it goes. So anyway, at the same time, I'd already bought the microphone, so we started doing this, and I was trying to think about the name for the podcast, and I was like, oh my god! Tapped applies to beer and magic. Perfect. So I decided we're going to name it the Untapped Podcast. Then, about a week later, I was watching porn... And this one, the first title, yeah, as one does, you know, and the first title card said Take One, and I was like, that's a magic thing. Oh my god! So that's how this podcast came about.
Also, I had wanted to start a podcast for like a year.
I was only thinking about this on Paul's urging, to clarify.
My knowledge that there was a podcast beginning is that all of a sudden microphones started showing up in our apartment. And then stands, and then pop filters.
How many times did you trip on them? Or...
No, they're over there in the corner, usually.
Unless Matt was
here. Who?
The other guy on this podcast.
Has he actually put on one?
He was on episode Take 3.
Okay.
Wait, was he was on the one that got broke? Okay, so we have...
Yeah.
He was on all the ones that got broke, let's not lie.
Episode 0.
And then Take 4, the broken one, where Paul's computer literally started on fire and we don't have the recording.
Guys.
Oh my god, what?
Guys, if I publish this, we will be at a 50% success rate.
Yes, I was gonna say.
Wait, your computer started on fire?
It makes noise. You can't hear anything. That's weird.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it's having issues.
The hypothesis is that it got so hot that it stopped recording.
The fan on my laptop that I got as a hand-me-down for free broke. And I was like, you know what? I tried to take it apart. I tried for the entire length of Monty Python and the Holy Grail to take it apart. I took out 50 screws, and it still would not come apart.
This also included me asking him multiple times, are you sure you can do that?
And then at the end, I put back like 2 screws, and I'm like, if I can't take it apart when all the screws are out, then what's the point of the screws being in the first place?
You just didn't put them back in?
And there's been no problems related to that. The only problem is I can't replace the fucking fan.
And the podcast doesn't work.
Yes. Well, sitting on a surface like the table.
So hold on. Why don't you just learn what we're doing now to record it?
We're using my other computer.
Why are we doing that in the first place?
Because I didn't want to get viruses from downloading freeware.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, that's the real reason.
Wait, computer wasn't working.
Which computer are we using?
The Black Monster.
So we have water cooling, so in case of any computer fires.
It's called Sugalite.
No, I get it. We'll get more into that later.
Oh, boy.
But,
yes.
So about 3 months ago, I built my own PC, and that prompted Paul to build his own PC. Paul, has this PC been used more than twice?
Sure. I watched at least 3 movies on it already.
Is that how we're going to watch V for Vendetta?
Probably. No, we're going to use the PS3. It plays Blu-rays.
Right. You didn't put a Blu-ray slot in it because it was irrelevant. And then you ordered a bunch of Blu-rays.
Do you have a disk drive?
No.
That'd be good.
That's what right. I meant.
So I feel like we've strayed from our topic of Tammy on the Moon Stage.
Whatever, she's old news.
Well, kind of, but Paul's cube deck is what we're trying to discuss.
But are you saying that there's an entire race of moon people that lived on this moon that's also
They're made of cheese? The moon folk are from Kamigawa.
Oh, okay, so she's...
Tamiyo is a planeswalker.
I see. I was just going to be very confused about, like, the development and the habitat of these...
Oh, my God.
Okay, but...
Silver moon.
There's more to this. There's no reason the moonfolk couldn't live on the moon of Innistrad, because races like the Kor have appeared on multiple planes, too. So there could be moonfolk on Innistrad's moon, and it would be amazing. But I don't really expect that at all.
What if Kiki Jiki is a planeswalker?
Doretti?
Who?
Squee?
Slowbad?
Zada?
Slowbad for about 10 seconds until his death?
Ib Halfheart?
What?
Yeah, Kaz is right. Slowbad became a planeswalker for about 10 seconds, and then he planeswalked and died. Look it up. It's part of the story of Mirrodin.
Oh, I'm not gonna do that. So anyway, Cube.
Can we actually? No. One thing. I'm this for you thing. One thing that was actually in focus,
sure.
Which wasn't the moon.
The feather.
Which was the feather.
The entire thing's in focus. There's no depth of focus in CG.
Let's talk about how there's a feather that falls from the sky, meaning that there's probably an angel that's gonna something with...
Avacyn's dead, we get it.
No, Avacyn isn't Hiri.
Avacyn's dead.
Both. Poor K, no los dos. Because
Nahiri can't be dead.
Because without Nahiri, there's no way they're going to do anything against...
Sora going to break open the Hell Vault when he was imprisoning Nahiri or something because she was pissed with
him. No, the Hell Vault already broke open. That's what? People got those foil angel tokens.
Is that where Grizzlebrand is from?
Yes.
Oh my god, I get that right. I was trying to be wrong.
I'm not 100%, but he's from Avacyn Restored, I think.
Yeah, he's dead now.
That's right.
Yeah, Liliana fucked him up, right?
She's got, like, what, 2 demons left to go?
Yeah. Obnix. Plus Mystery Man.
It's Obnixilus?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know
that either. He knows more.
Well, so sometimes.
She's gonna be the Black Planeswalker in Oath of the Gatewatch.
Because
she's going to kill off Nyxilis.
Why is there going to be a what?
No.
Why would there be a Black Planeswalker?
I'm gonna say Obnixilus is going to be fourth. They can't just bring him back and then...
Who would rather Obnixilus kills Liliana?
I would.
Show of voices.
I would rather Obnixilus kills Kiora.
Not one of the choices.
I love him now that he's magenta and kind of sexy.
Can we all be friends? I don't want anyone to die.
And he looks like fucking Barney.
Hey guys, let's all be friends.
And I think that
you're all gonna lose one life in draw a card.
I just like having a demon planeswalker as well.
I kill you.
Every time I watch a fireball video or any kind of standard event, and I see an Obnixilus on the field, all I think is, "Hey, kid."
To be fair, they use the worst art, and every other Obnixilus art has been
art
shit.
That you like is more purple
no,
than the one.
Yeah, and that's great.
But
it's
he
like
looks less
and
like
magenta.
Barney. He's all lithe in the Alter's Reap art.
He looks like
Barney
kind
is
of...
not lithe. You cannot describe Barney as lithe.
Do you know what he looks like in the Alter's Reap artwork? That one makes me think of that one portion in.
He looks
Jurassic
like the person on Murderous
where
Cut,
where the Velociraptor is like not really on screen, but his tail is wiggling back and forth. That's what that artwork makes me think of.
Did anybody follow that? Obnixilus standing with the knife looks like a raptor's tail. That's what I got out of that guy.
What?
Look it up. Watch more Jurassic Park.
Alright.
We were just talking about that, actually. We were all very surprised to find out Jurassic World is the third highest grossing movie of all time.
I wasn't that surprised.
Which I'm incredibly excited about.
I didn't see it.
I love Jurassic Park stuff.
Anyway.
But what about Jurassic Park 2? What about 3?
That was really good.
No.
No.
It had the Kirby Payton title plus.
It had the atrium. That was about it.
I also think Jurassic World is shit, so...
It also had the really cool 3D printed, like...
That was cool. That was the only cool part of the movie, though.
Cool.
Like, William H. Macy sucked. The plot sucked. It was like a weird way to shoehorn in everything from the book they couldn't include in the first movie.
No.
No?
The first movie doesn't even come close to the book.
I know, that's my point. The third movie was their attempt to shoehorn in book details they couldn't include.
The second movie is closer to the book, except for the whole part in New York.
He's ignoring you.
Alright, so let's
get back... New York?
So let's get back...
Las, whatever.
So let's get back to the, Las Vegas. Let's get back to the main topic. The Star Wars Holiday Special.
L.A.
The moon?
Okay, if we're still going to be talking about magic, if we're still going to be talking about magic, there's two places we can go right now, and that's going to be into the cube, which seems like a sort of natural transition, or we can go into Commander. So pick one.
Apparently nobody wants to talk about cube, so...
So I was drafting a blue-green deck. I get to pack 3. I open a pack with both Misty Rainforest and Tamio the Moonsage. The best fixing for my deck.
Well, how was your fixing before that?
I had City of Brass and Grand Coliseum and the Wooded Foothills I didn't play.
Okay.
If I had like a red blue duel, a Steam Vents. I think I saw a Steam Vents and didn't realize that, and then it didn't come back because lands don't come back.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
And Ed and me.
Sure.
Not really me. I wheel them.
What?
I pick lands when they should be picked.
The last draft, it was Matt.
Like, 5th through 8th pick packs.
That's well, your packs. Definition of should be picked is different than mine, because depending on the land, it should be picked, pick one. And that's why this was an interesting choice, Tamio or Misty Rainforest, because fetch lands are the lands that should be picked, pick one.
But we know that Paul likes Tamio, as we just talked about, so he made the incorrect pick.
Well,
I picked Tamio.
Based on his record, it seems like it was the right pick.
I had the same record.
Still first. But anyway, he didn't lose to you. Is also relevant. He lost to Clark.
Right.
That was a great match. That was just...
Clark did okay in cube?
I don't know what his final record was, but he beat...
He ended up at 1-2.
Yeah.
He did not get to play Matt because Matt left for like an hour and a half and Clark got bored waiting to play him.
And then Matt came back with friends that couldn't play Magic, so... Yes.
He came back with one friend.
He came back like 10 minutes after Clark left, which is really funny to me.
It was really funny.
It was like he was waiting. I don't think he was.
Trader
Joe's. Yeah, and get gas. And it took an hour and a half.
And a box of wine.
Yeah, he came back with a woman.
Who also works at Board Game Barrister.
Yes.
Was
very pleasant, for what it's worth. Calling her woman seemed a little demeaning.
Was this the person that we were trying to get into cube before? Or?
No. We were trying to get Aaron
Louisa?
Campbell to play cube
Campbell.
With us. This wasn't Louisa either. This was Carly.
That name.
Hi, Carly.
Yeah, if you're listening, you should come back.
You would absolutely recognize her from Morgan Barrister because she's there all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
She has hair kind of like mine.
She came in, and I looked at her, and I went, hey, you sold me some.
That made it harder to imagine right now. You're not helping. Okay, I got there.
Someone describe what I just did. Or don't. Alright, so.
You covered your face and was like, look at my hair.
Yeah, this is what I did.
Unfortunately, Goodspeed doesn't have object permanence, so when he covered his eyes, everybody else stopped existing.
Are you studying like pediatrics or something?
No, I just think it's funny to think about that all the time.
That's the point of peekaboo. I think that's why he thought of it. So I like this. I did the peekaboo thing.
Oh, yeah. The philosophical ramifications of peekaboo. Course.
What did you guys learn about this?
Because we grew up in the Chicago suburbs.
I could not tell you.
High school. We learned about it in high school, I'm sure.
So we're going to continue talking about cube.
I hope.
I ended up playing a blue-green deck in cube this week, and I went 3-1. I finally got to play Noble Hierarch, which I never get. It never wheels to me.
It's because I always take it.
That's probably true.
Cat was not present at our last cube draft.
I also had Raphelos, and I had Eureka, which I did not get to cast. I never drew it. And Natural Order, which is a card that came in great handy against Ed.
So now, he's describing all of these non-creature spells, as far as I know. aside from the dorks, right?
The dorks.
The dorks. These are all non-creature spells, right? So, is it my logic follow when I turn to Thalia seems really good against this deck?
No.
No.
No?
Because the reason he wins is casting the Simic Sky Swallower, which he can naturally draw or not.
Sure, but the point is I'm slowing him down. I was playing a red-white aggro deck, or green-white aggro deck, and he couldn't get there in time if Thalia was in play.
Because he was also playing things, and this is just the resilience of blue-green, he was also playing things like Coiling Oracle, and he was playing Edric, which let him just draw cards.
I guess Edric did beat me up.
Because he's got all these stupid little dorks, and they just draw cards.
That wasn't against Thalia, though.
Pestermite's great.
Were you playing Thran Dynamo
If I had drawn Pestermite in Game 3 against Clark, I would have beaten him. If I had drawn Time Warp or Tamiyo, I would have beaten him. Basically, if I drew a blue card, I would have beaten him.
Fucking Time Warp.
Every time I cast Time Warp, I won. With, like, no chance for my opponent, really.
That's because your opponents were attacking you. And they were tapped out.
Good speed. I'm impressed you did green-white instead of red-white. How do you like it?
Honestly, I should have been in red. Red was open, and Clark just ended up in it. Clark was to my right.
Clark was playing red aggro with black reanimator.
As my picks went, Voice of Resurgence, something, and like Nightmare Reliquary, and something else green-white. It was just ridiculous. I had to be in green-white. It was ridiculous. I got Curse of Predation.
You know, I was never super impressed with Voice of Resurgence, but it's probably good.
You just have to deal with it, and you're probably gonna get one token. But
isn't that Abzan reanimator guy?
Oh, yeah. I just got there. It took me a little bit.
It's good in the absence.
Because Nightmare. Recurring Nightmare, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
This is something I've wanted to do for a while, but I've never got Voice Resurgence.
Oh, man, yeah. That would be fun.
This is the deck Matt tried to make, and he tried to play four colors at the same time, and it didn't work.
Didn't Matt do okay with that deck?
No offense to the man. But he doesn't perform well in Cube because he tries to play four-color Legacy and not actually just play solid cards.
Play what's open.
That too.
And he's usually pretty confident that Matt's going to draft all of the lands that he sees.
That's why I always end up in two-color decks.
Hey man, two-color decks are great.
That has been happening
they are.
More to me lately. I ruined Paradise by playing five colors that one time. That's what I'm getting at.
But then we also had the monocolor draft that went pretty well.
That was truly paradise.
I liked
there
that.
Were four players, and we took all the gold cards out. So all your cards are colorless or monocolored or lands. And Goodspeed was in mono white. Kaz and Caleb were both in black green,
which was hilarious.
They were sitting next to each other.
And
both the decks were good.
Yup.
But Paul was in red blue.
Yep.
No competition because nobody else was in red or blue.
And mono white still
which
beat
was hilarious.
The only reason that was the closest I've come to winning Cube, and fucking Kaz beat me. It's happened like three or four times now. I'm undefeated, and Kaz is just like, oh lol, I win.
Kaz is the most likely to just play efficient removal spells.
Well, yeah.
Black's the best color.
Which beats the color of the creatures I'm playing. But anyway. So we're back to Cube, we can try. We're going well.
We
gotta get to the rest of the decks, though.
So Kaz was not at that Cube draft.
But I do have a deck to share later.
Sure. But just to close out our discussion of last Cube, what deck were you playing?
Okay, I remember. I was playing Mono Blue Esper.
I would have said exactly that.
It sounds like Ed.
Plus, like,
Detention Sphere and Balance.
No, those were side cards.
And
I sided white.
Detention Sphere was side?
Yeah, I sided this specifically against Paul because I didn't need them before. I was technically playing blue black, and I sided white in against you. I literally drew in one plane.
You brought in D Sphere against me too,
and brought in Sphere. I know.
Okay.
I had reasons.
Ed is the most likely to sideboard aggressively.
So Ed, how did you beat me?
I don't remember. Oh, yep. This was a super good game.
So, I was playing green white aggro. Ed was on three life, and I had what's the fading card?
Parallax Wave.
Yeah, I had a Parallax Wave in it. I had two planes and a forest. All I had to do was draw land. 8 turns in a row, and I would have won, and it didn't happen.
Exactly.
Including two Vendilion click triggers.
Yes.
So in 10 draws, Goodspeed did not hit a land.
Nope. To be fair, I sufficiently locked you out with the Dolphin Jungles and killing everything you played. I think
you locked him out while you were at like 3 life.
Yeah.
And he just needed to draw a land.
I stood at 3 life for like actually so many runs.
I think you would have beat me game 3.
That's
for what it's worth.
Stabilizing.
But it was really frustrating. Then I got to go beat Clark, and that was fun. So, but anyway. Anyway.
That was game 2 also?
It took so long. No, it just took so long. It took way... It felt like we had gone into game 3.
This was after I had so much strength that night, too. We started really early that day.
I think I started before you.
I started... No, because I started when you came here.
Okay.
He started first.
And then you waited for like 2 hours.
Okay.
And somehow I held it together and got what we won, so...
You drafted, built your deck, and played me before you took a drink.
Maybe one game, yeah, I acknowledge. I started drinking during our match, I think.
No.
I started it after.
Yeah.
We were done pretty quick, though, because you just beat the shit out of me, right?
It was true, yeah.
Once again, if my deck curved out, I won. That was what happened with this deck. I didn't curve out against Paul, I didn't curve out against Ed.
You know, I actually had very solid draws against you, though.
Yep,
and
I did not.
Thrag Tusk is not an embarrassing card against the green-white aggro deck.
We went to three games. No. Yeah, I put Rancor on Asalia and hit him for 8 or something like that.
Your problem every time you lost, besides against Ed, was not drawing enough creatures. Your deck had like 13 creatures, which is really light for an aggro deck.
Yeah, but everything else was just really good removal.
And equipment.
Yeah.
And...
No.
Yeah.
What equipment did I have?
I'm counting Rancor as equipment in this case, but you also had Grafted War Gear.
Yeah, okay. Well, I had that too.
I beat your deck by running you out of creatures by trading twice. Like, that was it.
How did you... Yeah, okay. I guess
something else I did against that deck that you were playing, which was I actually waited for you to play Rancor on something, because I knew the easiest way for me to get rid of it was to treachery the creature.
You got rid of it with a Vendilion Clip.
I also treachery
it. I know, but...
I got to cast...
That was Grafted War Gear, but then I just had to move it and kill the thing. I guess it didn't.
What is the... Woodfall Primus. I got to cast Woodfall Primus, destroying Grafted War Gear to kill a Blade Splicer because it gets sacrificed as a result of Grafted War Gear going to the graveyard. And Rancor went back to your hand. Yes, it was.
I didn't have Blade Splicer deck.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
I'll bet you.
That's one that makes a golem, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm
thinking of Toilet Man.
Splicer, which I sided against.
Porcelain Legionnaire.
Yes. Sure. It was probably that.
Yeah.
Can we get
Porcelain Legionnaire? Plus Rancor, plus Grafted War Gear is a very strong card, but it does die to artifact removal.
Could we get Patrick Chapin to claim that he designed Porcelain Legionnaire and then it's from Kohler? Because that would be amazing. that was a joke. If you got that, like and follow us on Twitter. At Untapped Quick, I think.
I don't think you understood that joke.
Toilets are made in Kohler. Patrick Chapin is from Wisconsin and could have designed the card. That was the joke.
If you
look at the toilets, they all have Kohler written on them, because that's where they're made.
I'm well aware I'm from Wisconsin.
I know.
I think we all are. Oh, yeah, good point.
No, I got something for
you,
Ed.
Suck.
My mom worked for a tile company for, like, 6 years. I know about bathrooms and the things that go in them.
That doesn't mean that you're from Wisconsin.
But I know about Kohler because I know about bathroom remodeling.
About 4-star restaurants in Wisconsin?
I'm sorry,
and
what?
Rich people in Wisconsin?
No, it's mostly just a company that makes things for bathrooms. Do you know about the company Kohler from the town Kohler?
Well, it's out this conversation.
So is this guy going to get, like, a nickname, like the Kohler Bandit or something? I don't know.
Well,
it's
this conversation. I know what Kohler is because my stepmom's parents live there. So anyway.
Are they wealthy white people?
Yes.
Thought so.
So we can go more into that later. So, Cad.
But they don't live in Maryland.
So.
They live in Kohler.
They can live in.
The Maryland of Wisconsin.
Great. Let's go run for like office in Kohler and see if we can get it renamed. So anyway, Kaz's deck you drafted that he wants to tell us about.
Well, it's, I sort of. So I just, while you guys were doing that, because I couldn't be there, I was getting all salty, and so I did my own draft through the Cube Tutor online, and I made a blue-black Tezzeret Ramp.
Hey,
what?
Hey, before we go from that, because I'll forget this, I'm drinking.
Okay.
is the Cube Tutor whatever available off our podcast Twitter?
Yeah, anyone could do it. We'll throw a link to it in the link dump. Yeah,
it's fun.
It was in the original link dump.
Okay.
Take two's link dump.
I'm gonna start with this one. The original. Take two.
Okay. So I mean, I don't know. I was just playing blue black. Stuff like Demonic Tutor, Hymn to Turek, I guess just good cards. But then I was playing the Signets, Grim Monolith, and Thran Dynamo, and I was just ramping into Grizzlebrand, Massacre Worm, Tameo. I have Upheaval, Ink Eyes for all of my evasive threats I played earlier that just do stuff like Cloudscape, Muldrifter, I don't know. Of something else. I have a Metamorph and a Pestermite here, and then I have Shackles. So that was my game plan. It looks like it would be fun to play, actually.
How many artifacts is that?
A little less than I would have liked, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's only 7.
That's the borderline, I think, for a Tezzeret deck.
But it looks super fun, and I hardcast Grizzlebrand even in my decks that aren't made to hardcast Grizzlebrand, so...
That is the story of Grizzlebrand, isn't it?
So, like, playing Grizzlebrand in turn 5 sounds pretty fun to me.
I killed...
Probably earlier, actually.
Oh, my God. Clark played Entomb Grizzlebrand all 3 games against me. All 3 games.
Well, you don't even remember when my brother came to the Cube, and I played against his stupid Esper Reanimator deck, and both games in a row... He just turn 1 discard a card, turn 2 reanimate into the stupid Sphinx, and I was playing a green deck. I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
Shout outs to Wes Zabrowski.
This fucking...
did you bother to tell him that we have a podcast?
I did. He's in Maine. Actually, we just went to visit him. Yeah, he's in Maine now.
Sweet.
Which is why I missed the Cube.
Wes is an interesting person in that, to quote Paul, he's the only person who makes decks that Paul hasn't thought of.
When we started playing Cube, Wes was the only person who, like, won a comparable proportion to me.
I wasn't a part of the playgroup then, really.
That's mostly true.
He also played 5-color artifact decks.
It's because you're not here during the summer, and Wes is. And we started playing when Conspiracy came out, which was the beginning of summer.
Beginning of summer.
Conspiracy came out between the spring set and the summer set.
Okay.
So it came out like the end of May.
Summer set being...
The core set,
the one,
historically.
Yeah, the one with Theros.
2015.
I meant Constar.
Yeah, 2015.
Okay. So, Cass, is that it for your Tezzeret deck?
I don't have much to say. I never got to play it. But it looked like fun.
Okay.
I was playing Tezzeret in my...
Making Baleful Strix into a 5/5.
Yeah.
That's what he did against me, too. But he didn't leave it back to block, and then I cast Time Warp.
I was weak to Time Warp that turn.
It's
true.
Time Warp is 5 mana for, you know...
Take an extra turn.
The same effect as Time Walk, but it is definitely still cubable.
What I didn't expect you to be able to do was Natural Order and Time Warp that turn, which is what you did.
I had 4 forests and a Raffaello, so it's contributed greatly to my ability to cast 2 spells in a turn.
Wait, how did you cast Time Warp? This is why I didn't expect it.
I had 6 lands.
Okay.
I played my 6th land that turn.
Mm-hmm.
Which was another island, and I didn't expect it.
Maybe I just had 5 lands, and one of them was Filter Land. I did have the Filter Land.
Make more sense, Forest Island.
No.
The point
no.
was, I knew he was casting Simic Sky Swallower. I had the Phyrexian Metamorph in my hand. I didn't think I was just going to die before it got passed back to me. And I just died.
Yeah.
I also had Loxodon on Warhammer that game, which was a card that let me win games I had no business participating in. Because I would just gain 40 life over the course of the game. It was ridiculous. That's how I beat you, too.
You beat me because my draw was terrible.
Well...
Not that you wouldn't have beaten me anyway, but,
Game 2 against you, I never went below 17, which is not a good sign for you.
I feel like... No, because you definitely got hit for 8 with the Porcelain Legionnaire.
That was Game 1.
Yeah.
Game 2 against you.
I'm trying to think about new cards I had in my deck, because I'm sure there was one, but I can't think of what it was.
Green and white.
If we're trying to gauge, I know, but definitely wasn't Enlightened Tutor or Farseek. Oh, Karmic Guide. Oh my God, Karmic Guide.
I had Farseek.
Karmic Guide is so goddamn good.
Farseek got exactly a basic island in my deck, and it was so good.
Sure, but I cannot articulate how amazing Karmic Guide was for me. Every single time I cast it.
That's why I felt so good. And I don't think that people have...
Yeah, I think he's still pretty good.
That's true. And I have not cut him.
I was absolutely shocked by how good he was when I played him. Every single time, he dealt my opponent at least 10 damage.
I do think he's underrated. Maybe unintentionally, because everyone else here seems to agree.
I'm down on his red. I don't like him very much. But, I mean, after Delphal Strix beating me up.
He's no Ashiok.
I also had Ashiok in that deck that I was talking about.
Yeah, blue-black gets two planeswalkers. Which other color combination... Which other two-color combination, I should say, has
sure.
two planeswalkers in it?
In Magic or in the cube?
In the cube.
Are you counting Garrick?
No.
Garrick's
a green card.
No, we were talking about he's a black card last time. He's,
Garrick is a green card for the purposes of cube.
Well, okay, but we were calling him a green black card last time.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
Let's green black be an answer.
Which color do you... Which two planes... Which color has two planes... Which guild has two planeswalkers that you have to pay guild colors to cast? What are they?
Fucking Ral, Zarek, and Dak Faden.
Dak Faden's not in the cube.
He could be, though.
He could be. He's not. Duretti is kind of the same card.
Cheater.
Well, we're talking about cube.
I would say Vraska and Garrick count, but...
And that's what I was going
to
say.
Honorable
but...
mention to Goodspeed for his Vraska and Garrick.
That's why I asked.
To go.
So, Thorin and nothing.
The other black-white planeswalker. Thorin.
So let's just keep going through those guilds.
Narset's not in.
Kiora and... Nope.
Oh, got it. I know you're thinking of it already, aren't you?
I knew the answer before I asked.
Yeah, okay. Is it the only one?
I think so.
All right, you two, it's Gruul.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that card was added.
And the two planeswalkers are, Ed, do you name either of them?
One of them's good.
It is the
Cavs.
Theros bitch.
Xenagos.
No, the other guy's Ravnica. I forgot his name.
Domri Raid.
Yep, worse and worser.
Domri Raid always seems good, but I don't...
I've never seen him played,
so I don't know. He seems like he could be good. And Xenagos seems like, I don't know, good against control. I don't know if I'd main deck him.
Did you ever play red-green?
Yes.
Oh my god, yes.
Red-green is an amazing color combination.
So
I've won a minimum of 2 cubes playing red-green.
Every time I play red-green, every time I play red-black, I actually win.
My curve stops at 4, and I beat you to death.
Red-green isn't on the back of Xenagos or Domri, but they are good in the deck of it.
Xenagos feels an awful lot like Huntmaster of the Fells when you play him.
Well, maybe you're right.
Ugin's not in, so there's no two colorless planeswalkers.
Yeah, I like Karn way better in cube. I think Ugin's too powerful to be interesting.
Sure.
And my interest is what counts here.
This stream we only have a few of the three color combinations represented. Not that I'm saying we should have more, but...
You're welcome to make suggestions.
Save that for next week.
Speaking of suggestions,
who's done their homework?
Let me do the whole thing first.
Sure.
So the goal right now is to reach 450 cards. That way we can have 8 players play and not use the whole cube, so that means it'll stay varied.
Also, we can keep Lore Seeker in.
Yes.
Is Booster Tutor still in?
Yes.
And that. We have 450 cards.
Booster Tutor does not affect Clues' called draft, which is the complaint for Lore Seeker.
Well, we should get out for that. We still have an 8-man with Lore Seeker, and it would still work.
So...
I think that Lore Seeker should just be in a...
But then you know it's in the pack.
That doesn't matter.
It does, because you can see on the side.
You know, I don't hate that.
Ed's
winning me over here.
All right.
So, the goal is to get to 450 cards, and we're currently like 408, maybe 409, depending on what I did and forgot about. But I'm out of white cards to add to the cube, save one. I have one card left in my list, and that card is Hero of Bladehold.
We did discuss last time.
And I've held off on Hero of Bladehold for the entire cube's existence. I know the card exists. I know it's absurd, but it just seems so absurd to the point of I don't think I want to play against it, or even with it. It's just stupid.
That is what Matt said was the problem. Matt would know the best out of all of us, I think.
It seems like it's not a great card for limited.
But the cube isn't modern.
Yeah, that's true.
Matt hasn't always been wrong about cube. Knight of the Reliquary was a great choice. And that was a card he... What's the word when you go to Congress and you bribe... lobbied. Yeah. And he lobbied for that for months. And we put it in, and then it turns out that Knight of the Reliquary actually does 700 things.
I mean, I think
I could go on and forget this for a long time, but...
My comparison was how the Jite is stupid as hell in Modern, and it seems somewhat reasonable here in Q.
Oh my god, no. That was in my blue deck also.
And your blue deck did not beat me. I never lose to Jite. I never lose to Jite.
You literally turned 3 Simic Sky Swallowed me and then time walked both games. That's not fair.
I think I time walked the second game only.
With 0 card draw.
I had Ponder.
You didn't play
card draw.
It's pretty good.
Sure.
You didn't do... My point is, you did nothing to stack your library. You were lucky those games.
My deck is very consistent.
And continuing.
So my point is, balancing out GTA by making the cube more powerful isn't necessarily a bad thing.
That's...
Which appears to be what we've done. Someone's gonna get screwed, though, in a draft.
Yeah, but then the person plays Hero of Lighthold and GTA.
Yeah, they sound like they go... All I'm trying to say is that, people, think, modern Legacy is too powerful. Well, Legacy, that shouldn't have that be that drastically.
Regardless,
that should be drastically different.
GTA is not a sword.
True.
GTA screws everybody equally, right. Which is to say, it's very good, but it doesn't just screw any single person completely.
Exactly. And that was the reason, that's why I think GTA's fine, thank you.
And that's why we took the swords out.
My only point was that, Matt just thinks it's too powerful because it's good in modern, GTA's banned in modern. It doesn't seem to be going rampant in the cube, just the formats are different. And if you already own one, do you own one?
A what?
Hero of Bladehold?
No.
Okay, well then maybe you don't want to spend money on it, but otherwise I don't know how expensive it is. Okay, but otherwise I don't see the problem in trying it.
Unfortunately, I hate the promo art for that card. If I was gonna put it in, I would just buy a foil of a pack foil. Absolutely.
I might have
I think you do. And if you guys are really interested, I'll put it in.
Well, we gotta have this discussion first.
But the point.
Does Paul agree?
Well, the point is, can we? Well, sure.
Yeah, ask us this question.
There is plenty of history of the podcast in the few episodes that have come out that have shown me being receptive to your feedback.
Yes. But the point is, with Hero of Label, you're still on the fence, so it's not going to go in next
week. You can push me over the fence, but I probably won't get it in the mail before next week's cube.
Just draw a promo like you normally do.
So we'd want to...
The sales has always turned out well.
I don't want to...
I kind of want to see it because before we start saying stuff like it's too powerful, it's too broken, I would like to have a history of
we can pick. And it's because of an angel that I want to see in, which is Sublime Archangel, and I think they fill the same slot.
Do they?
Sublime Archangel gives all of your creatures exalted.
Oh, it's that one.
Wait a minute, what?
I'm sorry, wait.
Sublime Archangel has, literally 6 words of text.
Give me a converted map.
4. It's 4-3 with flying, and exalted, and other creatures you control have exalted.
What's the cost?
4.
4 colorless?
2 white-white.
2 white-white.
Okay.
4 colorless? What the hell are you talking about?
No one was saying anything!
You're talking about white cards!
This is
a well-known card to all of us, I'm sorry.
I had to look it up, but I knew what... But as soon as you said the Exalted Angel, I knew what you were talking about.
No, Exalted Angel has morph.
That's right.
Not Exalted.
Whatever.
Yeah,
now you're...
Okay, so in the episode that collapsed in on itself twice...
Okay.
We talked about this, and then I asked everybody to come up with suggestions for white cards for the cube, so we could continue the gradual expansion. And it is my understanding that you three have suggestions for cube.
And that is Sublime Archangel?
Yeah, I looked up 2 because I wasn't sure if we wanted a creature or a spell.
Yes.
So I picked a creature, which was Sublime Archangel, which I liked over Hero Playable, because we talked about Hero Playable before, but that episode kind of got whatever. The other card that I have was Terminus. Because I like Terminus. It does things that you want, like get rid of Simic Sky Swallower.
And cost 6 mana.
I mean...
This is cute.
To go with our top...
Yeah, you just brainstorm,
And so, I do kind of like miracles. My thought was Entreat the Angels would be cool, but my real suggestion is both a creature and a spell in Reveal Arc, so, yeah. Which you know what that does, right?
I think that I would count Entreat the Angels as a creature spell. I mean, not necessarily for the card count, because that makes white really hard to fill out, but in many ways...
So both my suggestions are creatures and spells, in a way.
Yeah, Reveal Arc has way more spell quality than Entreat the Angels does. I love that, actually.
I don't know any good white cards, because I've been playing Support of the Gods, and Vermaz is already in. So, I'm going to say Sun Titan, because it seems like a really easy out for this. and then it's a good card, and we have other titans in, and it does things that white wants to do.
Quick, which titans do we have in?
Primeval.
Yes.
And Frost. Yeah.
Yes.
Why don't we have Inferno Titan?
Because Inferno Titan is ridiculous.
Too good. Too good. They're all good. I think they're all ridiculous in the queue.
Anyway, I've only seen Grave Titan once, and it was in Ed's graveyard during Commander game that I had to leave. And I was really happy I had to leave.
Oh, that was a Waro.
Doesn't Grave Titan kind of remind you of Hero of Bladehold in some ways?
I know.
It's it's different, yes. Grave Titan is still 10 power on the field. And you attack and there's more.
I hate Necromancer. It's like baby Grave Titan. It's chibi Grave Titan.
Kind of, yes.
I would purchase a Choo-Choo zombie that was chibi Grave Titan just for the Liliana token.
Does anyone remember Matt's suggestion?
No. I purchased...
It's probably some Kamigawa spirit or something.
No,
stupid.
It was Ruined Halo.
I don't know what that is.
That also sounds stupid.
Hey, what about...
Daybreak Coronet.
To go with all the other creature
enchantments. What the hell have you got? Like, Raycore.
When Rune Halo enters the battlefield, name a card. You have protection from the chosen name.
The hell?
What? This doesn't make sense.
You can't be targeted, dealt damage, or enchanted by anything with that name.
Simic Sky Swallower.
It's actually not terrible. It's a pretty good suggestion.
Oh yeah, well let's put in,
Can I name Paul?
Did Paul put in that magic card that has a blank in it? Because that's a card, and then you could just pick anything.
Hey guys,
name
a
card.
Let's put in True Name Nemesis.
Yeah, we want.
When we get to the talk about blue cards episode, you can say that, and then I'll mock you.
You'll be banned from the podcast permanently. So is that it? Those are white cards?
Yep.
What do you think you're going to do?
Oh, I'm not doing anything yet.
All right, then. I'm glad we accomplished so much of this discussion.
I put them on the list.
I guess that's good enough.
I have lists for all of the colors and all the multicolored sections.
I remember when you tried having a sideboard on Jupiter, that just didn't work.
It sucked.
Yup. But anyway, speaking of Cube Tutor, in the link dump, I threw the link to the new cube we designed, just so we could also look at that if you want to.
That should be its entire own topic.
Yeah, we'll get into depth.
Because there was a lot of philosophy thrown around when we built the new cube, you and I.
You mean the square?
No.
No, the square
oh,
is something
the square
else.
Is the but that
the
was
square,
too...
The square is Modern Masters 2015.
Yeah, that was way too complicated to be called a square.
I designed Modern Masters 2015, and then Modern Masters 2015 came out, and I was sad.
It was so true.
Isn't that much of a joke?
I was... I am sad. Speaking of things that make me sad.
You know, I thought of that too.
Commander.
Commander 2015.
Why does it make you sad? Come on, you guys.
Oh,
come on. There's two.
Spoiler alert.
There's no Oath of the Dryads. Come on.
There's two. There's two cards, which I think could be quite good.
Okay.
We'll get this. We'll get this.
I'm just going to be here to say. All right. I just want everyone to know I have nothing to say, because I don't know what these cards do.
We're talking about Commander 2015.
The set that has every single picture of a creature from the exact same shot slightly down into the right of the creature.
So, for those of you that don't know what Ed's talking about, neither do I. But I do want to talk about commander cards for Cube in general.
It's kind of true.
Commander sets have actually been pretty good to Cube. There's some things in the Cube that are from Commander that are pretty great.
The joke that I was making is that every single creature card that's legendary is actually just slightly off-center in every single one of the frames.
But that's beauty. Slightly off-center. Photographic beauty.
But when they're all next to each other, it looks terrible.
I think Azuri's sexy.
What's the best example, Ed?
Top row.
On Mythic Spoiler. That was unclear.
But only if you look today. No, seriously, what's the best example?
Azuri.
Name it.
Of what?
Of what you're talking
Azuri.
About.
Azuri.
Daxos, Mixis, no, Marin, Kalaman, Azuri, Kaiso, Anya.
So, Marin. Before you rant at me, just pick your favorite example.
Of all of them?
Yeah.
Marin, the clan of Nel'Toth.
You heard it here first, folks. Marin Klein of Nelthoth is the best example of a legend being off-center in Commander 2015. It's kind of true, though.
Wow, that's subtly off-center, and the dragon's sort of off-center, and she's just, like, almost... Okay.
I'm going to call this the off-center set.
I mean, I think it looks great.
So, being a Theros child, I'm very happy to see Daxos. But beyond that, I know very little about this set.
They're foreshadowing Elspeth.
I know, right? How great is that? She's gonna be white black.
Are they foreshadowing if it's already pretty much conclusion? The video was very clear.
Well, okay. More foreshadowing.
Wait, what's this foreshadowing?
Daxos foreshadows the return of Elspeth.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I thought that was so obvious from
that's what I was
before
saying.
That like it doesn't feel like foreshadowing.
Yeah.
It feels like, I don't know, what do you call foreshadowing again?
Eight shadowing.
So, that's a good point, because there are eight cards from previous commander sets that are in the cube. Right now.
What, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who can name any of them?
Sol Ring.
Oath of Dryads.
Sol Ring is not in the cube.
Oath of Dryads.
Song of the Dryads. We'll give you 3/4 of a point for that, because you got 3/4 of the words.
Council's Judgment.
Not in the cube either.
Oh, but you were going to, right?
That's right, I was.
Cards
that were printed in Commander 2013, or Commander 2014 that are in the cube.
Only in these?
Yes.
Are there more from 14?
Can I say Scavenging News?
Yeah, and I don't have that written here.
That was addressed at Kaz.
So we'll say 9.
What?
Are there more from 2014?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't tell them apart, especially 13 and 14. Ophiomancer.
Oh, yeah.
Merciless Eviction.
Ophiomancer is nasty.
That's from Conspiracy.
Okay.
No, the only ones that I could think of were Conspiracy cards, which was not...
Baleful Strix.
Yep.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's from Commander.
I didn't know that.
The first one?
I think so.
I don't think it was ever printed outside of Commander.
It was reprinted in Commander 2013.
Oh,
that's
really?
Yes.
From
Commander.
Oh, okay. Well, when did Commander come out?
2012. No, 2011, actually.
So how many Commander sets have there been? Just because I have no idea.
Three before this one.
Okay. There...
So it was...
Commander, they skipped a year, had Commando's Arsenal instead, because they didn't realize it would be popular.
Okay.
And they had 13 and 14, and they're doing whenever you
And
know.
14, the ones I have next, right? The Planeswalkers?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, so Duretti, there's your answer.
Thank you. Thank you,
right,
somebody.
Nahiri's not in, because Teferi... You know,
Flusterstorm is no longer in.
That's Fraelis. True.
Fraelis is in.
Nope.
No.
It's Yolandi Nissa.
Oh, okay.
Hornet Queen.
Oh, yeah.
That's Commander.
That's Theros.
No.
Okay. First off, you missed it completely because it was from M15, but
it was
Theros.
Printed
after Theros.
In Commander.
Exactly.
Yes, it was printed in Theros.
It was not printed in Theros.
It was in Commander before that?
It was printed in
Commander
and then a core set.
It's the same thing with Scavenging News. It was printed in Commander first.
Theros?
No, you keep saying that.
What are you talking about?
Hornet Queen's not in Theros.
No.
Well, that's a lie. God is dead.
It just rotated at the same time as Theros.
Were they?
I was convinced that card was from Theros.
Were they
printed
in the same set, or was it Scavenging News 2014?
No, they're from Commander.
I know they're both from Commander originally, but like Scavenging News was 2014, Hornet Queen was 2015.
That sounds right.
When they got reprinted?
Yeah.
I think they were both from the same deck in Commander.
Scavenging News also got printed as a
Gov.
The Planeswalkers promo.
They're both in Gov.
Duels of the Planeswalkers promo.
Oh, yeah.
Also from Commander 2014, we have Dual Caster Mage.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I love that card.
And Flesh Carver, which I have
yet to see any play yet.
I don't know what that card even does. I've never heard of that. Show me it, please.
Flesh Carver?
Yeah. That card's still in the cube?
Yeah.
I thought that got cut a while ago.
It got added.
It got added so it could be cut.
A month ago. No one's played it. I've heard good things. I've heard talk of good things.
Oh yeah, that
Fleshbag
the curse.
Marauder?
I mean, I'm looking at your screen now, so I'm cheating.
Marauder. Fleshbag Marauder is not
was
from Alara. Commander. Yeah, it's from Alara.
Well, it's in Commander decks.
But so
it was not originally printed
in Karmic Guide. But those cards are not from Commander. Cards that were originally printed in Commander 2013 or Commander 2014. We're done. You kept talking after we got all the cards.
Did you go through all of them?
Yeah.
I didn't hear them. Like Curse of Predation?
Yes, that was the last one.
Curse of Predation?
Reincarnation wasn't from Innistrad?
It was not from Innistrad.
No,
that's
why
there's a merfolk on it. You know, the merfolk that were definitely not on Innistrad.
But, like, the curse your opponent thing was from Innistrad.
Yeah, and they brought it back.
They do make callbacks to previous sets in optional expansions.
So they made a callback that wasn't really a callback, because it was a callback but with a twist. Merfolk aren't from Innistrad.
So they reprinted Azuri as a blue-green dude, but it's not really Azuri as a Phyrexian because it doesn't have Infect.
None of the Praetors have Infect. So now we'll move into suggestions from Commander for Cube. Obviously, they're not all present yet, so we only have a limited amount of cards to work with.
How Marin of the Clan they'll talk that I talked about before as being the Remnant of Jim, whatever.
Actually seems good for
actually
the Cube. Yeah.
Like,
oh, what?
She looks like a roll card.
Oh, she's from Jund.
No, well, she's...
That's the story. That was the Uncharted Realms.
She's a Golgari card.
Yeah.
But she looks cool.
I mean, kind of.
The artwork on her. There's like a dragon behind her. She's holding like a flame skull. She looks kind of like that other card that you got to tap for mana that was a gruel card.
I don't know what you're talking about. She looks like Deathrite Shaman a bit. That's not a gruel card. I mean, just the skull.
Red, green.
God damn it.
Are we good? Okay.
The G's in Gruul and Golgari confuse me, and the S's in Simic and Selesnya confuse me.
We will move on to suggestions now.
Doesn't help that...
They're all green.
Paul removed all the green Simics from the cube. That's what fucked me. Now I don't know what any of those things are.
Okay, so the first suggestion for the cube from Commander is Fiery Confluence.
I wasn't done with my explanation.
It wasn't clear. I'm confused.
That's my fault.
It's everybody's fault.
So.
What?
Commander has had a number of things that are great in cube. Standouts are Ophiomancer, Doretti, Curse of Predation, Song of the Dryads, Hornet Queen, and Baleful Strix. And as you pointed out, but I forgot.
What?
I don't remember.
That's
fine. Oh, Scavenging Ooze.
Scavenging Ooze.
That's what I meant.
But
Scavenging Ooze is amazing.
But this set has a couple things about it that make it seem not so great for cube so far.
You mean like experience counters?
Experience counters are not good, except unless the creature is your commander.
So, okay, let me put this out. I was really concerned going into this that you would be gung-ho and four experience counters in cube, because the creatures do the thing on their own they need to do to make them good, right? That makes sense.
Does it?
The creature, the only way to gain experience counters is inherent to the creatures themselves. Right?
Yeah.
Or other creatures with experience
and they only
counters.
Have experience counters only have an effect while that creature is in play.
Right, which is why I don't like it.
Which is why I don't like it for Q.
Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page. Let's move on.
Well, we're going to move on to a card which has experience counters, which I think could be good for Q.
Okay.
Which is the one we were talking about being off center, Marin of Clan Nel Toth.
Is that the reanimate one?
Yes.
Okay.
You need zero experience counters for it to be good.
That was the top post in the subreddit today.
Yeah.
And they put Marin of the Clan Neltoth, so I downvoted out of posterity. Even though it had like 800 upvotes.
So right, it's two black and a green.
Wait, what?
It's two black, green. First off, it's a Golgari card. I think we probably need more of those. Do we?
Man, sure.
Yes.
It's two black and a green for a 3/4. Whenever another creature you control dies, you get an experience counter, something which could be easily abused in the cube.
Sure.
At the beginning of your end step, it's the end step, not upkeep.
Yep.
Choose target creature card in your graveyard. If that card's converted mana cost is less than or equal to the number of experience counters you have, return to the battlefield. Otherwise, put it into your hand.
Sure. Ed's making a face.
How many zero converted mana cost creatures are in the cube?
Hey, your Backwalker, endless one.
Returning those to play isn't good.
You would have to return them to play? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. They can get one on trick. No. What am I talking? I'm not participating in this. I don't want commander.
The important thing is otherwise return it to your hand, so that even if you don't have experience counters, the turn you play it, you will get a creature card from your graveyard and put it into your hand.
A zero converted mana card.
No, any creature.
That's the play.
You can get any card. If it's under your experience counter total, it goes to play instead.
And all you have to do to make it start making it even go better than that is have your creatures die?
It's like an Eternal Witness, but different.
So the thing is, like, if you leave it up to your opponent, of course, this one's gonna bite it first,
it's
not going to happen.
Every single turn, if you do it right.
But if you're playing, Stax.
Yeah, okay. Stax needs four converted mana cost cards. That's true, but...
I think it's powerful enough without experience counters, though.
It might be. You're kind of selling me on this one.
How much does it cost? It's two Golgari?
It's four mana for a 3/4.
It's gonna cost like $5.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
First up, that it's out, and then it'll go up.
It'll go down.
I mean, it's...
Any of the commander cards cost less than that? Like the actual commanders of the boxes?
They definitely did before they went up.
That's why I thought it's going to go up.
This is a very powerful commander, and powerful commanders do get expensive.
We're on the same page. I want to see more magic sets on
TCG. So anyways...
Commanders from 2014 were all worth nothing.
Yeah, okay.
Most of the cards...
Are they?
Well, the Nahiri deck was worth something, but that wasn't because of Nahiri. That was
yeah,
the other cards.
The individual cards that are worth something are worth something.
How much is Duretti?
Like, True Name Nemesis.
I don't even know if Duretti's...
It's gotta be under $5.
I don't know how to spell Duretti.
D-A-R-E-T-T-I.
I was way off. Yeah, he's not that expensive.
He's $2-something.
$3.
$3 mid-price. Yeah. Commander cards are not worth anything.
Well, they just added the thing. Not mid. What's the new one?
Well, that's the thing. Are the original Commander cards expensive just because of the limited print, the more limited print room?
Yeah, the original Commander cards are all absurd, first of all.
That's true, but I do think that these Commander cards are better than 2014 and 2013.
The original cards let you play three colors.
That's also true, which makes them more popular. I get that.
Yeah.
And these new commanders are still not as powerful as, like... every single one of those old commanders are fucking bullshit. Yeah, Gav, Riku, Dragon and Demon and Angel.
Riku.
Bitch.
Zedru. Kalia.
Kalia. What?
No, Kalia's from that.
Is she?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's...
Animar.
Mimoplasm.
People like playing Animar.
Because
dumb.
That's why people like playing
him,
though, too.
Animar, because it is a powerful spell.
And then there's the Mimoplasm, which is also very powerful, although he's not worth that much anymore. He's like $6, I think.
Most of these have had a promo reprint.
I think Kalia is still ridiculously expensive.
That's true.
She is $34. I don't think God is that expensive anymore either, though. Oh, he's like $6. Okay.
But the cool judge promo is worth more than $40.
Which I am very grateful for Christmas.
So anyways, that's one suggestion. There is a note that out of the 39 out of 55 cards spoiled so far, there are only two suggestions for the cube, so it's not as... But then again, I still haven't seen any cards yet, which are like purposely directed towards like legacy or anything, which is surprising.
We've gotten one mechanic so far. There are basically three. There's also Myriad, a mechanic that will never, ever show up in cube.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you sure?
Because it's based entirely around multiplayer, as commander products do.
Myriad doesn't sound anything like Tamiyo.
Okay, so when I read this, all I could think of was this is the most horribly worded key text I have ever read.
Myriad?
Myriad.
Seems fine.
I can't tell which player the things are attacking when I read this because of their poor use of commas in magic key text and the use of that, which is completely generalized.
So have we all read the Magus of the Wheel flavor text?
No.
It says, can I buy the AE symbol?
Oh my god, really?
It's in Japanese or something right now, so I can't read it, but...
That's fucking great.
I feel like this card deserves to be a cube for that reason alone.
Magus of the Wheel.
Magus of the Wheel. The flavor text is like...
Red.
It's... What's the card we just added?
So, how do Maguses work, Ed? You should be able to explain this.
They're printed after a thing that was already a thing.
That's correct.
But they're a creature this.
Yes.
That's correct.
The thing has to be an enchantment?
No.
Not.
The thing has to not be a creature, basically.
Yeah.
Beforehand?
Yeah.
Okay. There's like Magus of the Moat.
Yep.
Magus of the...
So this is Magus of the Wheel, so what does it do?
Probably Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a 3/3.
Magus of the Rack.
Alright then.
There's a lot of Maguses.
I don't remember that one.
So,
there's at least two for each color.
One.
Magus of the Abyss.
Yeah, that.
Magus of the Library.
Magus of the Disc.
Oh yeah, that one's a good one.
Magus of the Jar.
No, you know what any of you do.
Alright, Goodspeed. I'm gonna name a Magus, and you're gonna tell me what card that it imitates.
Okay.
Magus of the Moat.
Moat.
Started off easy. Magus of the Jar.
The Jar, the movie.
The card is in the cube.
Memory Jar.
Oh, okay.
Pot of Greed from Yu-Gi-Oh!
Okay.
Yeah, right.
That's free, though. Susan's good. Anyway.
Magus of the Arena.
Phyrexian Arena?
Nope. Arena.
What?
I just knew he would get you on that one.
I have a new strategy for this.
That made me think of something. I said Yawgmoth's Bargain and it was terrible. I set it out and I don't know if it was just because of the decks we were playing.
Me too. I did not like how it played when I played with it. I think it's just too expensive.
And it was too expensive. So every single deck that I had it in, so I was like, I'm going to play a control deck.
Kind
and
of.
So Magus of the Library.
Sylvan Library.
The exact wrong library.
That's Library of Alexandria.
Yeah. That is the only other choice.
I'm glad I can get that.
I'm not going to reprint Sylvan Library in any form.
Here's one that you cannot get correct.
Okay.
Magus of the Vineyard.
It makes you gain 2 green mana.
Rufello's Vineyard. It's wrong.
Alada Marie's Vineyard.
It's when it dies,
what's
right?
it called?
No,
when
it's at the beginning dies. Of each main phase.
No, that's right, it's the green mana one.
So
each player.
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
So it's a 1/1 for one, I think.
So it's...
And at the beginning of each player's first main phase, add green to your mana pool. Or their mana pool.
So it's Vineyard Siege.
That is a reference that you would never get.
Alright then. Cool.
Yeah, it really is, though.
Magus of the Disc.
Dual Disc.
It's Lovecraft's Disc.
Lovecraft's Disc?
Yes. No, Nero's Disc.
Okay.
There was a leather-bound copy of Lovecraft at Barnes & Noble.
Oh, thanks.
I tried to show it to everyone, and everyone thought that it was, like, not cool except Matt.
I just didn't know what it was.
Matt would appreciate it.
I was just confused. Because I didn't... catch on immediately.
You like your Eldrazi, well, that's where they come from.
I don't like the Eldrazi because they don't look inhuman enough. But anyway.
Magus of the Scroll.
The Curse Scroll.
That's right.
Yay!
Of course you would know that, the red player.
Except the Curse Scroll is written in Japanese in our cube.
It's basically coded in red because it has activated
misprinted?
Yes.
Didn't the Magus itself used to be in the cube as opposed to the
yes.
Curse Scroll?
We eventually cut Magus of the Scroll, and then eventually added Curse Scroll.
Oh my god.
Magus?
That card is dumb.
Of the Bazaar.
Not that one, the other one.
Bazaar Baghdad? Cool.
Magus of the Candelabra.
God damn it. No.
Candelabra of Taunos.
Ooh, how could I know that?
Which is like an absurdly broken card.
I was gonna ask if there was some kind of an artifact from Innistrad that I forgot.
Magus of the Coffers.
Oh, yeah.
That's easy.
Fate's Coffers.
No!
It's
Cabal Coffers.
I've never heard of that card in my life.
Magus of the Future.
Future Sight. The set.
And a card.
I wasn't gonna tell him.
Future Visions. Is it Ancestral Magus?
No. Maybe this will be a cycle and we'll get an Ancestral Magus.
I hope it's a cycle. I would be so excited if this was a cycle.
We get some more cube cards, maybe.
All the flavor text is just as good.
Does this make you think Ancestral Magus?
Magus of the Recall.
Magus of the Recall.
But that's not what you would get. You would get Magus of the Bolt.
The total
it doesn't
Magus.
Have to be red.
I said that. It doesn't have to be one meta spells either.
But that would be the cycle that you would think you would get Ancestral Recall from, and you guys all just spiraled towards this. But that would be about why you.
I don't understand what you're saying, I'll be honest.
I understand what you're saying. You're talking about one converted mana cost instant speed spell.
No, three. You guys all went Magus of the Wheel. Wait, maybe this is a cycle. Magus of the Ancestral. How did you get there?
No, I said
it's a cycle. As in one in each color.
No. I can clarify this. I said Magus of the Ancestral in response to Magus of the Future. So that might be what it does, is draws you a bunch of cards. So then they said Magus of the Wheel might be a cycle, which would be exciting. There was no connection between
the
two.
Which you would think that it's going to be like a 3-drop blue spell, like Magus of Divination.
In the old Maguses...
That's not how Maguses work.
Like, they never... when they had a cycle of Maguses, it was only by color. They never had the spells. There was never really
It's a broken non-creature spell reprinted on a creature's body.
Yes.
Thus making it not as broken. Which is true, actually.
Sure.
Because none of these have been broken.
Even though we just made Magus of the Moat into a moat.
Except maybe this one, which does see modern play.
This one?
Magus of the Moon.
Cameo.
Blood Moon.
Okay. Blood Moon. That was my next guess.
Is Blood Moon going to be in standard? Because that would totally make sense.
Magus of the Tabernacle.
They just showed us a moon and blood.
Except that the offensive lands will have rotated out when Shadows comes in.
What? Okay. Consider Blood Moon in Oath.
It's also not red. It's distinctly white.
Consider Blood Moon in Oath of the Gatewatch.
They
which
won't,
is why they only
because
did
Endicar
it
Because
in...
doesn't have moons.
I know. But just consider it for a second.
It would be exciting.
Oh my god.
I would play Fell.com.
and more planes.
Smartfell in our company. That's all I would do.
Play Enlightened Ascetic 2.
Go for it.
Is that what that card was called?
Magus of the Tabernacle.
How many of these are there?
Another $100 land that nobody's going to play.
15.
It's too fucking expensive.
There were at least 15.
No, tabernacles were godlets. Yeah, okay, I know what that is.
It's not where God lives.
It kind of is. That's what it explained to me when I was four.
It's like where City Recycled God lives.
No, it's okay. We discovered God was dead when Horde Queen wasn't Theros earlier.
I don't understand why you think that's a Theros card.
Shut up! I don't know either.
So, the card you're looking for is called Tabernacle of Pendril Vale, or The Shitty Place Where God Lives of Pendril Vale.
Isn't that part of some stupid-ass all-lands deck in Legacy or something?
Here's another one.
Okay.
Magus of the Unseen.
Mastery of the Unseen? What?
Are you kidding?
I can't think of another card with Unseen in the title. Sorry.
I don't know what the fuck this is either.
Goodspeed's actually right. This is
what?
This is not a reference to another card. This was printed in Ice Age.
Wait. So they printed Mastery of the Unseen as a card that wasn't the Magus?
It's a reference to the Magus. Duh.
Yeah, it's not.
What does the card do?
It's everything.
Yeah, that's the whole list.
What does the card do?
It's not important. It's from Ice Age.
It's Ice Age. It's complicated and still bad.
What are the commander decks? The Wary, Derek, whatever his name is.
What?
The Wary commander.
Norrin the Wary.
That deck was playing a bunch of Ice Age enchantments that looked nuts. Because they all involved in coins and they were hilarious. No. Wait, you mean Ralph Zarek? No, not him either.
That's my man.
See, this is fucking bullshit. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay,
I'm talking
are we going to get into the second card I think would be good for Cube?
I know, is that where we're going?
So, after we get through experience counters, which we all agree are bad, except Kaz made a good point.
Sure.
And then Myriad, which we all agree... We are never playing multiplayer cube.
That would be fun, but we need to build an entire cube for it, so...
Just a quick side note.
I would be doing it.
The first time I came to cube, I thought it was multiplayer, and I was really disappointed it wasn't.
It's because it was mostly conspiracy cards at that point.
Well, that was true. Joe Carter drafted that cube draft and played Nico Bolas. That was fucking awesome. That was definitely a black card that made red and blue spells cost less. It was a dude. It was a zombie.
Yeah, I know. He's Grixis.
I drafted him as, like, I'm playing red, black, blue. Is that a thing? I kept asking everyone.
Really hard to list off three things in this conversation. I keep trying, and I never get to the third thing.
Does Magus of the Unseen...
Get there.
that one drop thing you use in Legacy, the one drop one that you have to just untap and then tap to take extra turns. You don't play that card in Legacy.
Time Vault is restricted in Vintage, and that's the only place you can cast it.
Alright, so...
No,
never mind.
People are not playing Magus of the... whatever I called it, in of the Unseen in Vintage. At LSV, have you ever played Magus of the Unseen in Vintage?
I dare you do it.
You're the tweeter. Except I actually do all the tweeting.
Yeah, I'm going to start tweeting more now. But anyway, Kaz, you want to talk about more cards from Commander?
Well, there's one more card so far, which I think is good.
Introduce the mechanic.
It's not just Kaz either. I also want to talk about
The mechanic.
It's not a mechanic.
It's a cycle.
It's a cycle of confluences.
And it's something that's never happened before. Now, tell me what a confluence is without telling me what fiery confluence is.
Well, it has the text, choose three. You may choose the same mode more than once. And it has a bullet list of three choices.
I can't wait for the mana confluence altar that says, choose three. You may choose the same mode more than once. Add 1/3 red to your mana pool.
No.
Add 1/3 blue to your mana pool.
It's gotta be just a tap ability, because you can't tap it more than once. So do it as many times as you want, you just have to tap it to do it.
It's okay. Tap, choose three, you may choose one more than once. That's what it does.
Can I talk about fiery confluence stuff?
Please do.
It deals 6 damage.
That's the important part, I think.
It's like a lava axe.
Except what?
Except cheaper and more damage.
So there's three modes to it. There's three modes to it. Fiery Confluence deals 1 damage to each creature. Fiery Confluence deals 2 damage to each opponent and destroy target artifact. I saw that.
I made a brick.
They can see audacity.
If I sound quiet, there's a reason.
I like having the option of destroying artifacts incidentally in the cube.
Okay. Yeah.
It helps.
A color that isn't green needs the power to do this.
We have Kolaghan's command, and that's already fits you into a color pair.
I talked you into removing red artifact destruction to include Thunderbright region, like, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Because there are three cards that all kill artifacts for two and a red.
And what did that get replaced with?
I don't remember.
Cards that kill lands.
Wait, what? What card? Is it the little two-drop thing? The goblin?
Avalanche Rider?
Avalanche Rider.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Skurk Trailblazer.
Yeah, okay.
Eventually came in for those creatures that could kill artifacts.
So,
We did say Song of Dryads a long time ago. What are you thinking of?
I was just saying that it removes artifacts.
Yeah, green can do it.
What we're saying is green has like eight cards that do that and no other color can.
And I appreciate the sentiment.
Yes.
You only play that in Abzan, though.
Utter end.
Not in the cube, but also only gets played in Abzan.
Well,
no.
So anyway.
So, Fiery Confluence. I like how it incidentally destroys artifacts, which is always nice.
Did you explain what it does?
Yes.
He did. Yeah.
Yes.
I wasn't listening.
Yeah, of course you weren't.
You're probably going to write it again.
My computer's asleep. I couldn't.
The other thing it does, it's a way to clear the board again, which is also nice. You can deal 3 damage to each creature. It is each creature, not just your opponent's control. So it'll hit yours too.
Kez, what's your favorite 3 choices?
Deal 6 to the opponent.
This is the card that I wanted to see in Standard, by the way.
So, Ed, what's your favorite 3 choices?
All of them?
You have to choose 3.
Oh, I like destroying an artifact and taking 4.
Okay.
I like taking 6. I like taking 2 and then dealing 2 to everything.
Ed has cast this spell 3 times already.
I like, taking 2 and destroying an artifact and then dealing 1 to everything.
I like that mode too.
It all seems good to me.
I don't see bad on this card.
It's 4 converted mana cost. It seems great. I would even put it in like the red aggressive deck because you get them down like 6 damage out of nowhere and they're dead.
Or clear off their aristocrats.
Oh, God.
It's crazy. I think this card is really good.
Yeah, this is the red cryptic command.
Yeah, just wait till the blue confluence comes and draw a card as one of the modes.
I would like this better. Yeah, I was thinking of that too.
It's gonna happen.
The green one is obviously terrible because it costs 6 and 2 of the modes are really bad.
Right, the blue one might cost too much.
So can I step in for a second? So I didn't know what this card did. I thought it cost 6 mana when I first read it. Looking at it now, it looks really good, and I'm very happy with this if it goes in cube.
Now, this is the red cryptic command that should have been in that cycle.
I would like this card better if it cost 1 red, red, red.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because it would make you think of cryptic command.
Yeah.
You could change that.
Please don't.
I won't.
This is my favorite card so far. I guess there's not a whole lot of choices.
I think
but
it's the only card, honestly. Yeah.
Mirren's good.
So,
I don't think so, but...
Do you guys want to speculate on the other 3 confluences? The ones we haven't seen?
The blue, black, and white ones?
Yes.
White's going to gain you life.
How much?
I'm going to say 2.
So it could gain you 6 life.
Yeah.
For how much mana?
I'm going to guess the other 2 abilities are good enough that it'll compensate for getting 6 life being bad.
What are they?
I don't, it couldn't be Pact to Exile, could it?
Why not?
I guess it could be.
This is a Commander product.
Exile-free
It'd basically be whatever.
Exile-free creatures?
I could see it. This is Commander.
It might be like, a Smite the Monstrous.
Okay. Exile instead, though?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Get rid of creatures above a certain size.
Sure.
We'll say 4 or greater power.
Yeah.
The one thing is, though, that is part of a command, though. That's already Austere Command.
Austere Command does kind of do this.
What does Incendiary Command do? I have no idea.
Who cares? This is clearly better. No, I'm gonna look it up.
Incendiary Command deals 4 damage to yourself, or kills 2 of your own creatures.
Wait, what?
Or makes you discard 2 cards.
I don't know what you're talking about. This sounds like.
Do you want me to read
it? See, it's not Cryptic Command, so
what's
bad.
What's the planeswalker called? One that costs red.
Tibble.
Yeah.
I mean Chibarto.
Tibble says Price of Progress.
Tibble says I suck.
No, he doesn't.
Price of Progress is not the card you think it is.
Yeah, I played Tibble in my really cool...
What is Price of Progress?
I believe you can make him work. He doesn't seem to...
Deal damage equal to the number of non-basic lands times 2.
Tibble does not do that.
Yeah, he does. It's like his -6. Or his -3.
No, he gets guys. He steals everything. That's his ultimate. The act of treason's everything.
Minus.
Isn't it cards in hand?
Oh, it might be that.
So, Incendiary Command's not as bad as I thought, and it's actually sort of close to...
I'm wrong on everything tonight.
To the other command.
Which is why I'm going to tell you what the blue confluence card is. It's going to be blue-blue, choose three whatever.
You want to draw a card?
One of them's going to say brainstorm, the other one's going to say ponder, and then the other one's going to say bounce.
Ponder three times?
Sounds what like it's mean? Getting banned in Legacy.
This is—it's a commander card.
It's legal in Legacy.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where they print some Legacy cards.
Legacy is an eternal format,
which is why I still think we may get more cube cards because I haven't seen anything that's pushed towards Legacy yet.
Here's the blue concept. It's going to be one blue instant. This choice is going to be draw card.
Hang on, was that converted mana cost one or two?
One.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, a single blue mana. To clarify. Draw a card.
Shut up.
Bounce a creature.
Ancestral Recall.
Bounce a creature. Tap a creature. Those are the three options.
I don't even know if there's a card that says tap three creatures.
It definitely isn't. I mean, we'll have to say tap two creatures.
I can think of one that does.
What?
Pastermite Kiki Jiki.
Tap a creature.
I don't think you can tap three creatures that way.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Explain how you can tap three creatures.
You're only tapping two.
You can't tap three creatures that way.
You go Pestermite, copy Pestermite, you've tapped two. You can't do it anymore.
Because you don't untap
you didn't your Kiki.
Yeah,
unless you're casting a Splitter Twin that turn two.
Yes.
Which could work. That's like three cards, though.
And then all of your creatures are tapped. In
No, the last...
Or they have Summoning Sickness.
Yeah, well, no, because it has haste off of Splitter Twin. So you have a 2-1 haste.
Yeah, but you use the haste to make your Splinter Twin tap.
No, because it entered the battlefield and you tap their last guy. And that's it. So
yeah, okay.
And that's it.
That's a complicated way to take two.
Sorry. I like my own name.
All right. Well, those are the cube-worthy cards so far.
Did we talk about the green confluence yet?
Are we going to?
Yeah, so I brought it up. I did mention it to you guys, and I'm like, oh, wait, never mind.
We know what it does.
I'm going to look for it.
I thought this was target card, not target permanent card, which is why I thought it was good.
I don't know that I want to pay 6 mana for triple regrowth.
That also has...
modes that don't matter.
Yeah, okay, I guess the search for basic.
Wait,
yeah, you're right.
So
you're right.
Right with the rampant growth.
Yeah.
Yes, but triple rampant growth for triple the cost isn't a good effect.
Wait, this is pilgrimage, idiot.
Just play Boundless Realms.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I play Boundless Realms. Play Commander, too.
Wait, what?
Just play Rafelos, win forever.
So, hang on, can we look at Azuri's Predation for a second, just because it's the first time I saw it, and it actually is like Iron Man Azuri?
I'm sorry, what?
It looks pretty sweet, and that's cool.
I love Azuri's artwork. Everyone disagrees with me, apparently.
Azuri's Predation?
What card? Just look at the artwork.
What
kind of Iron Man chest?
What card?
Azuri's Predation.
What colors?
Green.
Azuri.
So, I have a feeling we won't be talking about these cards in the context of Commander, because none of us have played Commander in the longest time.
Or have never played Commander.
Well, that's you. But I do like, a lot of the Commanders seem really freaking good. Azuri, Claw of Progress in particular, yeah. Seems dumb as fuck.
And again, Ken, as I said, I have two of the Commander 2014 decks with minor at most changes. I'm happy to play them against whatever deck you guys want to buy.
I'm going to get the green-blue one.
Okay.
I also like Skullwinder for Feldegriff, because I found that the best thing to do in my Feldegriff Commander deck was to just return opponent's cards to their hand so they could win the game for me. And this one does your cards and your opponent's cards when it enters the battlefield.
Sure.
This is like how Riku gave everyone else mana until they won.
Yeah, that's what Feldegriff does.
That's not Riku, that's Xenagos.
That is Xenagos.
Shut up.
That's Xenagos' characteristic trait.
Where did you get that Xenagos, Paul?
From God.
What did I trade it to you for?
When I say God, I mean the God of Revels.
Or God said. So what did you trade it for?
I don't know.
Jack shit. Fucking cats, I think. Cats that get 1/1s when you gain life or something.
This card just seems dumb.
Pride
Mage? It's just...
Yeah, that card.
Yeah, the blue-red deck is just full of expensive spells and stupid creatures. I don't know. I'm not a fan of it.
Are the deck lists out besides these cards?
No.
No, but there's a lot of blue-red spells.
We're not
spells
even all
spoiled.
The way through the spoilers yet.
I know, but... Okay, so yeah, that's...